The Bridgeport Board of Education is now considering a forensic financial audit to bring some clarity, some transparency, figure out why city schools are now facing a nearly $39 million deficit. The board's finance committee voted to recommend that a forensic audit be conducted to determine the cause of that deficit and also recommend solutions. And this recommendation comes ahead of city officials, including the acting superintendent, going before the State Board of Education in Hartford later this week in a hearing following that deficit announcement at the end of 2024. Joining us now is one of the board members, Joe Sokolovic, who I've been in contact with really in the last year or so, talking about especially the issues between the board and the former superintendent of schools in Bridgeport, some of the issues that have gone on with the Bridgeport school system. And so, Joe, welcome back. I appreciate having you. Talk to us about this decision into having a forensic audit done.
Good morning. Yeah, if I may, I would like to briefly frame a little bit of history behind everything.
Please. I think that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, it's a brief statement. Bridgeport Public Schools has been underfunded by the state, local, and federal government for decades. It is my belief that in no way, shape, or form that this forensic audit will resolve the historic underfunding of our Bridgeport Public Schools. The state must remove the guardrails and pour money into urban education. And the local government of Bridgeport needs to step up as well and stop being dead last in its proportional funding to Bridgeport Public Schools. The purpose of the audit will be to find efficiencies to stretch the inadequate dollars being given to the Bridgeport Public Schools and to regain community trust after the last year. Now, as far as the audit and the $39 million, the $39 million is not a surprise. This has been on our radar. It's been known since I've been raising it since 2020, and I called for we're going to need about $42 million in increased cost by this time if nothing changed, and I came in about $1 million under in my guesstimate. There was a plan put in place by former Superintendent Testani, supported by Ms. Alicia Perrin. It was supposed to be drawing down on our hiring and getting rid of some positions through attrition. Instead, what we have in the last year, and the reason I'm calling for an audit, is unchecked hiring, contract signings, and a whole plethora of issues that came over us the last year. Now, you've been in contact with me via email a couple of times. I sent you the request for a special meeting. I don't know if you recall that.
I do. Sure.
To do exactly what we're doing right now is to stop. Actually, to prevent what we're doing right now is stop hiring so we didn't have to lay off. Now, the reason for the forensic audit, I've called for an enhanced audit or forensic audit before, just basically to gain the community's trust. But now it's even more imperative because over the last year and a year and a half, there have been several warning signals that are very troubling. I'm not saying fraud does exist, but I'm saying the potential for fraud has been created through a variety of actions.
You're fine, Joe. And I just want to make sure, Joe, that I'm also giving you the right title. Are you the finance chair?
Correct.
You are.
And
so
I'm currently also the vice chair of the Board of Ed.
For the Board of Ed. That's what I thought. And so, you know, again, kind of just going back really quick to what you just said, you had already sort of predicted we would be in this situation. You said what, in 2020, about 4 years ago. And so here we are. And you're not surprised by it. But with the audit, you know, when you talk about things like unchecked hiring, is every time somebody gets hired for the Bridgeport school system, what is the protocol supposed to be to avoid something like this happening where, you know, we already have had to lay off dozens of people? Potentially it was upwards of 80 people needing to be laid off because of this deficit.
Correct. And to be clear, the great majority of those employees being accessed were hired within the last 1 year.
Was that because of COVID funding being given? Because that's one thing that was always recommended is don't use, you know, things like COVID funding.
I'll touch briefly on that.
Okay.
That COVID recommended, we have a lot of psychologists, social workers, social emotional supports, tutoring and all this stuff. These are things that we should have as a right as a district.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like telling somebody that's starving who gets a $1,000 bonus in a lottery not to buy extra food that they wouldn't buy in the past.
Okay, I mean, I'm glad you said it like that, Joe, because that's sort of what I gathered from it is when you look at some of the roles that were filled, if you will, because of this money that came through. And let me also be clear, Joe, I don't know if you agree with me. Again, we've got the finance chair for Bridgeport's Board of Education here and also the vice chair for the Board of Ed in Bridgeport. I think that a lot of other school districts are going to find the same issue that Bridgeport is finding. Maybe not to the same financial extent, but I think that programs and paraprofessionals and things that were funded because of the funding that came through federally during COVID, during the last few years, I think we're also going to see budget cuts basically across every district, I think. You know, some not as hit hard as others, but I think in some regard we're going to see that happen, and I agree with you. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, we use the COVID funding improperly. You know, what you just mentioned, tutors and mental health consultants and things of that nature, we need that. I mean, that we need. We can't cut that.
Absolutely, and now, every job that I said, like I said, all the jobs we just left off were hired within a year. That's not saying any of these jobs are useless jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And other districts have some of these positions, but Bridgeport, we cannot afford these positions because the next cuts come into the classroom because we're by far not finished. You asked about the hiring process. There should be a hiring process. There should be checks and balances. There is a hiring process. It's been superseded a couple of times in the past, not according to the bylaws. And the most troubling process that we did not get to see is the executive positions that aren't in the bargaining units. Now, I'm going to read briefly from a policy that we got for administration. We may need to tighten up to make it a little more clear. But it says the superintendent shall establish procedures for compensating paid administrators who are not members of a bargaining unit, subject to approval by the board. Administrators who are members of a bargaining unit shall be compensated in accordance with the terms of the contract. Now, the ones I'm really focused on right now for this audit to try to find out some more checks and balances on this is the executive positions that aren't part of the union.
Are those people in the superintendent's administration?
Correct.
Okay.
Like chief of academic officers, to name one, executive director of different departments. Now, these contracts were signed without the board seeing them or approving of any one of them.
So building now, basically the leadership board leadership roles, but they are not covered by the union. These are positions that, like you said, are sort of, you know, surround the superintendent and her team or her former team, I should say. We have the Bridgeport Board of Education finance chair here, Joseph Sokolovic, and Joe is here talking about the forensic financial audit to figure out how in the world Bridgeport City Schools are now facing a nearly $39 million deficit, although Joe said earlier in this interview that he sort of saw this coming. He was maybe a million or so off, but he saw this coming years ago. And so this audit is really going to provide some clarity. And certainly when you look at, you know, upper management, some of those hired positions that sort of bypass the board getting approval, how much money were these people making? And, you know, and also just looking at, again, some of the things that Bridgeport is not being funded with or not being provided with compared to other districts across the state of Connecticut. It's interesting, Joe, I wanted to get your take on this. I was sent a letter that in the beginning of this month, the state Republican Party had sent this to the Department of Education Commissioner Charlene Russell Tucker. And near the end of the letter, bringing attention about what Bridgeport schools are going through, the question from Senators Eric Berthel and Steve Harding says, with, you know, what we're talking about in mind, is the state considering a takeover of the Bridgeport school system? Now, I don't know what exactly that means, but I'm curious, you know, if I'm thinking just logically, I would imagine that means taking over the finances. I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but what would be your thoughts in the state taking a bigger role in handling the finances of the Bridgeport school system? What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely not. And a little more context to that, there was also a letter by Christine Baptiste Perez, Esquire, to the board, to Charlene Ross Tucker about the failure of leadership of the board, which she's and the former superintendent have been in charge over the last few years. A state takeover of the Bridgeport Board of Education would be fought tooth and nail. There's already people lining up ready to fight, ready to bring it back to court if you think the board's going to sit down and the city of Bridgeport's going to sit down and sit back and allow the state to take over after being responsible for underfunding urban districts for all this time. They got another thing coming. The city of Bridgeport has stepped up. Since the leadership has changed, we have over $10 or $11 million of proposed cuts to reverse what the last administration has done. I have written an editorial that hasn't gotten published. I'll send it to you after this. It's called Failure by Design. Failure by Design is the state takes over. We're heading towards a charter school. We're in a Republican Party. I'm a former Republican. They're for privatizing education, charter schools, education for profit centers. Like we just saw the relay program. We spent $2 million, which we could have spent $7 million on, but for us being able to block it because somebody didn't show up. That program is now sitting on a shelf, not being utilized. So that's $2 million to private education that could have gone to public education. So in no way, shape, or form should the democratically elected board be replaced by the state of Connecticut for the failures of prior administration, for the failures of prior leadership when we are taking steps to repair the damage that they have done.
Do you worry, though, Joe, when you look at, so when I heard a takeover, immediately I thought of West Haven. One of the only examples I could think concretely that is connected to COVID, where when West Haven misused their COVID funding, the state had to take over. An oversight board literally had to take over the finances for a period of time. And my concern is if the headline is, you know, we were using COVID funds to hire people when it's been recommended by the state, don't do that. And Bridgeport did do that in some regard. Do you feel like it's a harder, harder thing to stand on saying, well, no, you certainly can't take over our finances. We're reversing, you know, what the state did. You know, does the state have, I guess, a stronger case when they say, well, you guys misused COVID funds, essentially? Not you personally.
Right. No, that absolutely. I don't believe anybody could point to a single district that received COVID funding that did not use it to hire additional support personnel to cover the COVID pandemic losses, to not hire tutors, to not hire interventionists, the social workers, psychologists, and what have you. You will not find one single district. Part of the reason to talk about state takeover state intervention or state accountability is our overturn of superintendents. Greenwich, Connecticut had far more turnover in their superintendents in the last 20 years than the city of Bridgeport. Is anybody talking about taking over Greenwich? No, they want to take over the urban districts. They just want to take advantage of the poorer districts. Like I said, they're responsible for the underfunding. We need equitable funding. We haven't tried to have adequate funding and equitable funding for our schools. We've never had that.
Well, Joe, I certainly am going to be curious to see not only what this forensic audit is going to show, as you mentioned, to, again, really find solutions in trying to, you know, find some of the money in this deficit right now. But also, it'll be interesting. I have a meeting set up, coming up next week. Dr. Avery is going to be on the show. I'll be very curious to see what's going to happen Thursday when they go before lawmakers in Hartford. Are you going to be at that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, keep us in the loop. I certainly appreciate, Joe, that you've been very transparent and very communicative with me in the last year plus. Certainly more behind the scenes, but I always appreciate you keeping me in the loop because it matters. It matters to our WICC listeners. I certainly care deeply about the education system in Bridgeport, and so I appreciate the work that you do in keeping me in the loop, throughout. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I hope I'm going to send you that email with the failure by design and give you a little more context and maybe a couple other emails if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I don't mind at all. That's what I'm here for, Joe. I appreciate it. And again, we will certainly be in touch and continue to follow this story very closely. For you listening at home, we are going to have Dr. Avery come on as well next week, talking about what happens in this meeting that's set to happen on Thursday in Hartford. So stay tuned. We are going to continue coverage on this right here on Melissa in the Morning.